Let's go to my notes. Right, you can still hear me? Good. Right. So, I know that it is... Sorry, I'm just going to do something because I can't... I want to have my notes and also know that you're all still here. Because if I can't see you, then I don't know that you're everything's okay. So, what I'll do is... Yeah, it was just a bit, I had it, my whole screen filled with my notes, but then that just felt a bit eerie because I kind of like, you could have lost the connection and, you know, I was just paranoid. Didn't realise what that would actually feel like, but there we are. So, I don't know how many of you have been to New York before. I've never been to New York, never been to America actually, but I quite like to visit New York. It's one of the places that's sort of on my bucket list. And I think it's pretty obvious how most of us would get to New York if we were going to go there. But I don't know if you realise this, but it's actually possible to walk all the way to New York. You could actually walk there. I don't know how long it would take, but what you'd have to do is you'd have to basically walk through the Channel Tunnel and then you'd have to walk all the way across Asia, Europe, Asia, and then you'd have to also then get to the Bering Strait at a time when it's frozen. So you could cross from Asia to North America. And then from there, you could walk all the way across North America and eventually you'd come to New York. Now, that would take years and years, wouldn't it? But it is possible to do that. But if you just wanted to visit New York for a holiday, you'd be pretty crazy to try and walk there because there's much easier ways of getting there. And the obvious one is to fly, to go with British Airways or whichever airline you might go with. It's possible to get to New York by walking, but it's much easier to get on an aeroplane. And in the days of Concorde, you could get there in 4 or 5 hours, probably. I think even less than that, probably 3 hours or something on Concorde. The point I'm making here is this. We're thinking today about prayer. And when we fail to pray, when we neglect prayer, we're like someone who insists on walking to New York instead of just getting on an aeroplane and getting there, relying on an aeroplane instead of their own walking strength. When we live our Christian lives and we don't pray, what we're really saying is, I don't need God. I don't need his power in my life. I don't need his help. When we are aware of our own weakness, when we're aware of our own sinfulness and our just utter inadequacy, when we feel utterly helpless and a complete waste of space, that's when actually we can depend more on God. When we come to him, we just have to pray. We have no other option. There's something very dangerous when we start to feel that everything's going well in our spiritual lives. I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't try to be disciplined and you know, make our lives more in a way that is pleasing to God. But what I'm saying is this: when we start to depend on our own routine, on our own, like I say, our own strengths, that's when we're in danger of failing to call on God, failing to pray, failing to see our need for him. Whereas when we've messed up, we've sinned, we are just totally aware of our own struggles, just how difficult we find evangelism, how difficult we find reading the word, how difficult we find everything, then suddenly we say, Lord, I need your help in this Christian life. And we start to pray more. And it's the same as we look out to our world. We're thinking about praying for everyone today, which we'll come on to. And sometimes the church, Christians, just kind of think it's their job to sort all the problems out. You know, we must solve all the poverty and, you know, just try and help people that are struggling. And that certainly can be part of the fruit of our Christian lives, but actually ultimately it's God that is the answer to everything. It's Jesus that's the saviour and the rescuer of the world. And so we need to bring our world to God. We need to bring it to God in prayer. And that's what we're thinking about today, talking directly to God and asking for his help. And it is a wonderful thing that we can talk to God. It sounds such a simple thing, doesn't it? But actually, it's only possible by the blood of Jesus that we can pray. And when we think about talking to God, I mean, there's a sense in which God is omniscient. He knows everything. So even people that don't want to be heard by God, he knows everything, he hears everything. And in a sort of general sense, anyone can talk to God and be heard. But what I'm talking about today is to talk to God as our Father and to know that he is delighting to hear us. He wants to hear us. He wants to help us. And talking to God in that way is very different. So we're going to think a little bit about that today, and particularly about praying for other people. And I'd like us to think about it in, well, three different ways. So as we think about praying for others, which is the theme, I'd like to first think about who we pray for. Then secondly, we're going to think about why we pray. And then thirdly, we're going to think about what we pray. So praying for others, then who we pray for, why we pray, and what we pray for. So who we pray for, who do we pray for? Well, very often we pray for ourselves. If you're anything like me, you'll pray lots of different arrow prayers. Probably the arrow prayer is the most common prayer. That's when you just sort of, it's a spontaneous prayer in your heart to God about a specific thing. And that's certainly one of the most common prayers in the Christian life. And certainly not wrong. We can pray whenever we want. Our God always listens. And then perhaps when we're in a more set apart time of prayer, we might pray for family and friends and lots of people that we know. But we don't necessarily pray as much for those outside all over the world. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 says, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in positions of power. And those in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Who are we to pray for? We're to pray for absolutely everyone, especially authorities and even authorities, the leaders of our countries and world. Quite often we limit what God can do, and we perhaps focus on praying for what we think of as, you know, good prospects for the gospel, you know, the sort of people that naturally come in and just are open to the gospel. And of course, we must pray for those people. But perhaps we find it harder to imagine God being at work in the corridors of power of the world. That's, by the way, part of the reason behind my background. It's the Oval Office. It's not my house. A couple of people have made that mistake. They think it's a nice land, but it's the Oval Office. And I put that there as a reminder that, you know, we should pray for everyone, even the leaders of other countries. We're not just to pray for our own country, but we can pray for the whole world. And any leader who has power in this world, we should be praying for. So we pray for all people. And like I say, it's not just those people that we can imagine being saved, but those people that we can just never imagine. Those atheists that are so adamant that this gospel, this Christianity and religion as they see it, is just a load of rubbish. The idea of a God, it's no different to believing in fairies, Father Christmas. It's just really childish, really. But God can open their minds and hearts. It's his work. Perhaps there's people that are even evil people, you know, in prison, or perhaps they're terrorists, or whoever it is. You know, these are the kind of people that we can think, oh, they're not going to be saved. You know, they hate God. But actually, God can save these people just as easily as any other. The kindest and nicest person we can imagine, the most sort of morally upright person, is just as far from God without Christ and without the Holy Spirit working in them as the worst terrorist. And you could argue that they're further away, because you could argue that someone who's a criminal in prison, it's much easier to persuade them of their sin than it is of someone that thinks they're a good person. And I'm sure there's truth in that. But whoever it is, it takes a miracle of God to work in their hearts to save them. And yet we shouldn't put anyone outside of God's power. We must pray for all people and never be put off by thinking that'll never happen. And especially when it comes to people that we find particularly difficult, people that we can never imagine being saved, we should still be calling on the Lord for them to be saved. So don't limit who you pray for. Pray for as many people as you can in every situation, and even those in the very highest levels of society. I mean, there's so much discussion about whether governments are doing the right thing or the best thing or the wrong thing with regard to this virus. And you know, in some countries, it seems that the virus is more under control than others. And we can debate forever about what the right thing to do is. But one thing that we must all do as Christians is to pray for our leaders, to pray for not merely that they be saved, but as I've said, that is something we must pray for. But we can pray for them to have wisdom, and we will think a little bit about that later. So why do we pray? We've thought about who we pray for, which is everyone. But why do we pray? Well, verse 3 is the reason I want to give that we should pray, and it's something we don't often think of. Verse 3 says, "This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God." We pray often because we want an outcome. You know, that's the reason to pray. I want something to happen, therefore I pray. But how often do we pray because we know that that pleases God? We're not just praying for the outcome, but we're praying knowing that this is pleasing in the sight of God. God smiles upon our prayers, even though they're weak, even though we struggle to concentrate, even though it just seems such a battle. Even then, God listens. God hears our prayers. And perhaps it's in those times when we just feel the most inadequate, and we just feel, just my word, my prayer isn't flowing the way it should. I'm not like those other people that seem to be able to just say these wonderful words. All I'm really doing is just calling out to God and just trying to ask him for what I think I need and want him to do. But it's faith that is trusting that God listens, that God smiles upon. And Jesus compared faith to that of a mustard seed. He said, just if you just have faith as a mustard seed, it can be like the greatest, like the mustard seed grows into the largest plant. In the same way, we can see God accomplish great things through even just weak prayer, where we're not even necessarily believing it that much. We're speaking to God and we're thinking, oh, this probably won't happen, you know, God isn't going to answer this prayer. And yet we're just in faith saying, Lord, I know you're powerful and I do ask that you would answer this prayer. We hear in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, about when Peter was in prison and the first century church were praying. And that first century church, they endured a lot. They were very spiritual brothers and sisters. It wasn't far from Pentecost, and they were willing to die. They were willing to suffer greatly, and they were praying for the Apostle Peter in prison, and they were praying and seeking God for him. And then God answered the prayer, so that, and he got released from prison, and then he knocks the door. And what happened? None of them believed that God had actually answered the prayer. So we see that it's not just us that sometimes find it hard to believe that God will answer our prayers, but even in the Bible, in the New Testament, God's people, though they were praying, they didn't necessarily always have the expectation that God was going to answer, but they still prayed. So why do we pray? We pray, yes, we do seek to have an outcome, but we pray primarily to please God, to obey him, and because it's what he's told us to do. When we pray to glorify God, it's less likely that we'll become bored and we'll become mechanical. When we're doing it for the glory of God, then there's a power there that there isn't when we're just simply reading through a shopping list of requests. Let's remember that God comes first, and his kingdom is number one in the list of what we're praying for. When we pray, sometimes we pray because we want to pray, but probably most of the time we just don't feel like it, do we? You know, it's just the hardest thing ever. We just to get ourselves to pray can just be so difficult just to get started. But even when we don't want to, we should pray, we should call on God. I mean, when it's someone's birthday and we're all getting, say we're going for a meal somewhere and we've arranged with some friends, a group of friends, we've set up a WhatsApp group and we've arranged to go and have a meal with some friends for their birthday. And decision comes, we can't do it at the moment so easily, but the decision comes, you know, where are we going to go? What are we going to eat? Well, often when you're trying to decide where to go to eat, there's a lot of opinion as to, you know, which type of restaurant, Indian, fish and chips, I don't know, the pub, wherever it might be, you know, depending on our favourite type of food. But if it's someone's birthday, then they come first. It's their choice that comes first. They're the one, because they're what it's all about, if you like, on that day. It's their special day. And so their priority comes first. And it's the same with prayer. You know, it's not about how we feel, but it's about how God feels. And he has told us in his word that this pleases him. It is good and pleasing in our sight. So there's so much possibilities for what we can pray for, because God is God and he can do absolutely anything. But we need to pray that God, by his Spirit, would cause us to be burdened by the things that he wants us to pray for. That's one thing we can do, is Lord, help us to pray. Help us to pray your will. Help us to pray for the people that you want us to pray for. I remember hearing, and this was a bit of an exceptional thing. I had some friends in Cardiff, and they were flatmates together. And one of them was doing a nursing placement in Africa, I think it was Sierra Leone. And so he was doing this placement, and the other one was at home. And he was having a time of prayer, and he decided that he was going to pray for someone in his church that had cancer, and he was just going to pray for them. And anyway, he was calling on the Lord. This particular guy is a Korean guy, and he gets really passionate and fiery in his prayers. So he's calling on the Lord. And then he said he felt the Lord call him to pray, not for the guy in the church with cancer, but actually to pray for his flatmate Luke, who was in Africa. He didn't know why, but he thought, no, God wants me to pray for Luke today. And so he did, and he called on God. He said, Lord, I don't know what it is, I don't know what the situation is, but pray for my brother Luke, who's in Africa at this time. And anyway, time passed and kind of forgot about it. And anyway, when he got back, he'd realized that at that exact time, Luke was very sick. If in a sense he was dying, he was very, very sick. And he didn't know about that, but yet God sort of led him to do that. And that's not a normal thing, but it does show how God can guide us and help us even in prayer itself. So we pray, and we pray to bring glory to God, and we pray for the things that God wants us to pray for. And finally today, I'd like us to think about why we pray. Some slight issues in my screen. Oh, I know what it is. Sorry. That's better. Yeah, so finally, what we pray. And we read in verse 4 that God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So, in prayer, we have primary and we have secondary objectives. So, a few years ago, there was a situation in Thailand, which we may remember, in which some young boys got trapped in a cave. You may remember that. And basically, it was a football team of young Thai teenagers, and they went caving with their sort of football coach. And unfortunately, the sort of floodwaters came up and they became trapped. And they were something like a mile and a half through tunnels inside a complex cave network. And so it was very difficult to know where they were to start with. And it seemed, from a human perspective, that it would be an impossible mission to save them. But then thankfully, I think it was some British cavers who were very experienced got involved and actually were able to go diving under all that water, and they explored the whole, much of the caves. And no doubt there were people praying all over the world, and they found the guys. And once they'd done that, the initial thing was to just get supplies to them, get food, get all sorts of things. And because of the sheer logistics of getting 1.1 miles through water and all sorts of networks of narrow passages, because of the difficulties of that, they had to be very careful about what they took when they supplied them with different things. I think they had to use like something like 10 bottles of oxygen each just to be able to get to the boys. So they had to be very careful about deciding what to take. Now, I don't think when they arrived there with the first lot of supplies for them, I don't imagine that, you know, they brought them a PlayStation and then a generator to power the PlayStation, a television to plug into the PlayStation so that the boys would be, you know, really have a great time. That wasn't the priority. You know, yeah, it would be a nice thing to have probably, but that's not their priority. They need food, they need medicine, they need all sorts of things just to get them through that situation. And in the same way, the objective in prayer, we need to pray, yes, for circumstances, to pray for people who are suffering, to pray for situations all over the world where they're on our hearts. This shouldn't be our primary objective. We have primary and we have secondary objectives in prayer. And in the secondary objectives, we can pray for our leaders, that they just have a general wisdom, that they have the desire to make peace. And it says there, I think it's verse, I've got written down the verse, but it says that, and kings who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful life. We pray for them that we may have a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So we do pray that God would give wisdom to our leaders. We do pray that wars would cease and that God would bring them to the close. We do pray that this virus would go away, and we pray for the doctors and nurses. We pray for the scientists who are trying to find a cure for the virus. So we pray these things. But what I want to say today is that this is actually a secondary objective. This is not the first and primary thing that we're praying for. The primary thing is to pray for people to be saved. You know, the biggest thing that kings, presidents, prime ministers need is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where they will get the most wisdom from. That is what is ultimately what they need the most. And this is what our nations need. I mean, we do pray for everyone that they would get better from this sickness, but we as Christians, we are longing not just that people's lives on this earth would be extended, but that they would have an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is only possible if they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. So we mustn't forget that. That the first thing be, we pray for people to be saved. And then secondarily, we do also pray for peace and for circumstances to work for the good of mankind. That's not a wrong thing. But we know that the best thing that can possibly happen in this world is for people to come to know God. So let's pray for both these things, not merely for little problems that are on our heart, but also for that ultimate problem, which is sin and rebellion against God, that Jesus came to this world as a mediator between God and men. He gave himself as a ransom, not just to temporarily help people out of their problems, but he came as a ransom to buy us back to God, to pay for our sins. And so our number one aim has always got to be to bring people to God. People are blind. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of God." We pray that God would open the blind eyes of the unbelievers, that they would see it's God that opens blind eyes. Do you know who one of the most incredible conversions in the Bible is? And I mean, we probably think of the Apostle Paul, who was, you know, the Pharisee, but the one I'm thinking of today was the pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, who, if you like, was a kind of antichrist, you know, a kind of just evil imposter of the Messiah that Satan was trying to make as his king of the earth. And, you know, just in every way, just a wicked king, you know, oppressing God's people and basically getting people to worship him and his images. And yet God, in his mercy, he saved even Nebuchadnezzar. By the end, he did come to acknowledge God. And a God who can save an evil king like Nebuchadnezzar can even save those friends of ours that we just think will never come to know the Lord. So I want to say, don't give up in praying for these people. Even though sometimes God seems a long time in answering, we keep praying. Those prayers, even the ones we prayed over many years, many decades, they're still as incense on the altar of the throne of heaven. And who knows when God will answer that. We hear stories of prayers that have been answered years after someone has died. People have prayed for their relatives their whole life, and only after they've died has that prayer been answered. But they kept praying, even though they didn't see it on this earth. So thank God that we have a mighty Saviour who is able to help us, and keep seeking him, keep praying for the authorities, and keep trusting in the Lord. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Matt, for bringing God's word to us. And I'm going to allow people to unmute themselves now, I think. Yes. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That was a really helpful reason to pray, that it's good and pleasing in the sight of the Lord God. So thank you for that. Hopefully, guys, you can unmute yourselves now. And in about 1 minute, we'll go into breakout groups. Okay.
Thank you about the incense on the altar. That's a good thing to remember.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
If you're on the phone, to unmute yourself is star 6. If you're right, if you've dialed in, then to unmute yourself, you press star and 6 should work.
Wow. How do you find these people?
Thank you. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah. It's all right.
No.
Want to know what Matt's background really looks like? I actually thought that was his lounge.
I think Matt's background is more grand than his fake background.
He's had to tone it down for North Bradley.
That's right, yeah.
He does live in Bath.
He's probably got a view of the circle.
Right, I'm going to stick us into breakout groups now. So let's see. So it's going to do it automatically. I'm going to say there's between 3 and 4 people in each room, and we'll be in for about 8 minutes or so. I'll give you a little warning before you go. So let's see how this works out.
Bye, guys. Love you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
It is quite weird when I do this because I've just done that and it splits up. Some people have got 5 people in a room, but Pauline and Rachel are in their own room. How? I don't know how it possibly does that. So I'm going to try again and let's see. Recreate. Let's see. Let's hope it's worked better this time. Yes, that's more. Right. Open all rooms. Let's go.
Oh, this is from Press.
You're in.
Hello.
Hello.
I was wondering why no one was saying anything. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Hi, Kristen. You're on mute, Kristen. Can you hear us? Hello? You're still on mute. So is Joanne.
Oh.
If you're using a phone, just go to the page where you can see yourself, I think, or the very last one. Or if you touch your phone, there should be like a mute button. Oh, no. Oh, that's a shame. Is Joanne there? I don't think Joanne is there. How are you doing, Linda?
I'm fine, thank you very much, yes. Another lovely day, isn't it? Beautiful.
Yeah, it's been really nice for the past 3 days. Makes a change to...
Well, it's a shame, isn't it?
It's a shame that we can't hear them.
Yeah.
Do you...
Oh. On?
Oh, hello.
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 Hello, Linda.
Hi. Hi, Wendy.
We can hear you now.
Can you hear us?
Yes, we can now.
Hello.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Linda.
I'm fine, thank you. Yes, Joe is on mute.
Yeah, we can't hear you, Joe.
You're on mute, Joe.
It wasn't just us then.
No, it happens more often than you think. Oh.
She looks as if she's in the house. Yeah, I expect everyone is, except you're in my house, aren't you? I'm not having a roast for dinner. I'm going to cook Wendy. Oh, Linda's lovely. She just lost her husband.
Oh.
Ha ha ha.
So lovely to see you all. Is everyone well?
Yeah. How are you all doing?
Yeah, we're all right, aren't we, Wendy? We're still going. I shall be glad when it's over now. I shall be. Yeah. But I think it's going to be a long time, isn't it?
Well, they reckon the 15th of September is the 15th of August is the next review.
Yeah, but I don't think they'll do anything much, Wendy. No, I don't.
Are you saying that on the 15th will be your next review at the hospital?
The Coronas update, what they do is on the August the 15th next one. We're going to open more today, but they haven't, have they? So we've got to wait another 2 weeks.
Oh.
I know.
That's a shame.
It is a shame, I know. Wendy likes to go swimming, so she was hoping she'd be going back swimming, didn't you?
Yeah, but they're not opening pool just yet.
No, not just yet, no. No.
Oh, well, it's not long now. 2 weeks is not a long time. I mean, I can't believe it's 7 months already.
Well, I think we mostly took our time unmuting.
Joe, I think.
Hey?
I think Joe is gone. Or she?
Yeah.
She's gone.
I think she's gone now.
Yeah. Hello, Linda.
Hello. That was a nasty accident you had by the bruising.
Yes, and inside of my mouth as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I fell in Wendy's on Thursday. Got a few bruises on my knees, but it shakes you up. As you get old, you don't know yet, but as you get old, it shakes you up more.
It's a shock.
Isn't that right, Linda? As you get older, it's more of a shock. It's the shock. Definitely.
Yeah.
You're already young.
Well, I'm young. I'm already in my 30s, so not that young.
Have you got children?
No, I don't plan.
Pardon?
I don't plan.
Oh.
I'm attracted to other people's children, but I'm not planning on having any.
You don't want any?
No, not really. Unless God says otherwise.
I know. You. What are you knitting?
Oh, I'm making a little jump, like a sweater for my friend's daughter.
Oh, how lovely! Do you know what? I can't knit.
Oh, really? It's
no,
very.
No, seriously, I can't knit.
I can knit, but I can't crochet.
You knit, don't you?
Yeah,
but not crochet.
Yeah.
And I can't do either.
I can just do the very basic knitting. Plain and cool.
Linda, I can't even do that. You know, I'm still looking.
Oh, wow. That looks complicated.
I said it really basic, and then once you know how the basic thing, it's very easy to go up a level.
Oh, wow. How old's the baby?
Sorry? How old is she?
Yeah.
She is 8 months.
Oh. Beautiful. Beautiful age, isn't it? When they just begin to sit up in that now. Yeah. And it's lovely age. Lovely age, isn't it? What do you think?
I'm starting to do a lot more than just cry and eat.
Yeah. A little bit more now.
Yeah, a little bit more.
I'm still waiting for God to give me my talent. I can't knit. I can't sew. I'm a rubbish cook. So I don't feel I've got a talent. So I'm still waiting to find mine.
Well, you never know until you try everything. So
that's
try
true. That's true. But I do read. Maybe that's a talent I can read.
All those amateurs have done. Amateurs have a talent.
Well, yeah, and Wendy has just started going into her family tree.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, Jane's sister is doing it with you, isn't she?
Yeah.
Your family tree.
Sue.
So she's finding out all sorts of things. It's amazing.
How far back has she gone so far?
How far back?
1833.
Oh, nice. She's got pictures of your mum was one of how many? Seven?
Six.
And she's got pictures of them when they got married and that. So it's lovely for her to see that.
Oh, nice.
It's very interesting, isn't it, when you look back?
Yeah,
I've never done it, but it must be very interesting. Must be.
For me, it's a bit more complicated than that. There's just too many of us. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Pardon? There was one. Have we got a girl, have we?
Yeah, we still can. Oh, she's.
Bye.
I think
bye,
she's trying.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye, thank you, bye.
Bye-bye.
You were so nice. Linda's husband.